to assemble together in His house today. And if you're visiting, we welcome you. We want you to feel at home as the Spirit of God would allow you to do so this morning. And I appreciate what's already been done in the service this morning. Appreciate the good singing and the Sunday school hour and the truths of the Word of God. And how it spoke to my heart. And the Lord's been working in my heart in these days. And I'm looking forward to meeting coming up. And I think that I'm as excited about this meeting as I have been about anyone that I've ever looked forward to. And I don't know what the Lord is wanting to do, but I know He's wanting to do something. And if we will do our part, He will for sure do His. There's no lack of supply on His end. Matters not about the day we're living in. Matters not about what dispensation of time that we have found ourselves in. Many people have said, and I understand the mindset, there is some truth behind the statement that we're victims of prophecy because we are living in the Laodicean age, but the Bible said that we're victors, not victims. That we're more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. And we don't have to live in a spirit of deadness, dryness, or defeat just because that we so happen to be born and living and serving God in the last days. But I'm glad that there can be as much of the power of God in this day as there ever has been, and there will be as much as we want there to be in this day. And I pray for myself and for us as a whole that the want to would be greater than it's ever been in us for the things of God. In my own life, that God would work, and He has been. Now, I don't want Him to stop. I want Him to continue to work to make that desire greater in me, where I get to the place that nothing else will do but to have what He has for us. And I pray that God will do that for us in these days. 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. If you have your Bibles this morning, and we'll turn, please, to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 29. I've had this thought stirring on my heart for several days now. Don't know how long I keep you this morning. Might be fairly brief. I don't know, whatever the Lord wants. But I know in my heart that I've got to give you this morning, and that we all stand in need of it. And God, help us this morning to respond as He would speak to our hearts and help us in this service. 1 Chronicles 29, when you found your place, if you're able, willing, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. I want to begin reading in verse number 1, 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors, all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house withal. The gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach this morning, if God would help me, for just a few minutes on who then is willing. We've come a long way in the Scripture from where we were Wednesday night. From where David attempted to bring back the Ark of the Covenant and failed because of his mistake and of not preparing to do it God's way. Now the ark is back where it belongs. David sits in his house one day and looks out in the tent where he has pitched for the ark, and conviction sets in upon him, and he says, I've got this grand house to dwell in, and the ark of God abides in a tent. And so it came upon him, the burden of his heart. I believe that it was a burden from God to build a house for the ark of God to rest in, and a place to worship and commune with God. We understand that David could not build the house. It was in his heart to do so, but the Lord said, because he had been a man of war and had shed blood, that he could not build the house. But God made him a promise that Solomon, his son, would build the house. And as long as Solomon would remain true to God, that God would remain true to Solomon. And that as long as Solomon would seek after God, God promised that he would be found, and that God would hear every prayer that would be prayed toward this house. And so now David has come to the end of his days, and he gathers all of the people together, and he charges them to be strong in the Lord and to do the work. And David stresses from 1 Chronicles 13, when no preparation really was made, now David stresses that there has been great preparation that has been made to build this house. David mentions that he has prepared, that he has got from God the pattern to give to Solomon his son. He gave him the patterns of the porches and the inner chambers and the upper parlors and all of the places, all of the rooms to build inside the temple. God gave it to David, and David gave it to his son. But David didn't just give him a pattern, but he prepared all the material to build the house. He gathered together all that was in the kingdom. That is what is meant here when David says in verse number 2 that he had prepared. He had searched the kingdom and gathered together everything that was needful. But it was not just from the kingdom. But David said in verse number 3 that because his affection was toward the house of God, David went into his own house and his own treasury and opened his own wallet and prepared and gave over and above all that he bestowed from the kingdom. And he's standing here charging the people. And he's saying, I, not because that David wanted to be recognized, not because that David wanted a pat on the back, but David said, I have prepared, I have been willing to open what God has given to me and give back to Him. I have been willing to do this. Who else is willing? This thing that is recorded this morning in our hearing in the Word of God is what David was willing to do to be able to meet with God. I wonder this morning who is willing to do what it takes to meet with God. Who is willing and what are we willing to do to be able to meet with God? For David, the price was not too great. For David, the fall of what really David is doing here, and I'm just going to preach it how it's on my heart. I know that it's a little slower this morning, but God is a working in my heart, and I trust that He's a working in yours, in me. There's a witness that this is what He wants, and it's going to find some hearts this morning. I'm satisfied in somebody. I hope many somebodies will be willing to do what it takes to meet with God. For David, he was willing to carry the burden to meet with God. Even though he had done been told that he would not build the house. Even though all of David's preparation did somewhat seem in the eyes of man to maybe be useless or futile, and the fact that he brought all these things together and yet he would not build the house. But David wanted to meet with God. And David wanted God to meet with them. And so he said, if this is my portion, if this is what I have to do, if this is the burden I have to bear, if this is the weight that I have to carry, if this is what I have to go through, then I'm willing so that I and my people can meet with God. I wonder how willing we are. And I'm saying we. Preaching to myself as much as anybody else here this morning. How much do we want to meet with God? How much do we want for God to meet with us? How willing are we? What are we willing to do? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to see revival in this day? I thought about some others in the Word of God, or the Lord began to put them on my heart last night. I was sitting in the floor of the bedroom by myself just with my Bible, and the Lord began to speak to my heart about some that were willing to do whatever it took to meet with the Lord. I wonder if we're willing this morning. We're too worried about what others may think. We're too worried about what our husband may think, or our wife may think, or our children, or others in the church, or other churches up or down the road. We spend all our time worrying about what others think. And I know, just like was said in Sunday school, that's part of our humanity. That's part of the human nature, is to care about what others think. But why can we not care more about what God thinks than others think? How important is it to us to have a meeting with God? Not just a series of services. And even if we weren't having revival, just to come in the house of God on a Sunday morning and meet with God. Not just go through the motions and be content to leave the same way we came. But as Brother John prayed this morning, for God to do something that we'd leave different than we came. It's a sense of desperation is what leads men and women to be willing to do what it takes. It is the reality and the realization that nothing else will do. And until we get to that place where we realize that nothing else will do, I will be willing to do what it takes to have what we need. I sat in a congregation one day. A man of God stood behind the pulpit. Brother Larry Neal, some of you know him, some of you don't, but he preached a message I'll never forget on wanting but not willing. There are many things we want from God, but too often we're not willing to do what it takes to get them. Now, I'm not here this morning saying that there's a 1, 2, 3 that we can do and then God is obligated to us or has to, but if we get willing, God's more willing than we are. Thought about a man, and many of these people that I thought about or that the Lord brought to my heart, I preached on here recently, but the Lord knows what He's doing. I'm not trying to rehash anything, but I thought about a man by the name of Zacchaeus. He was willing to climb a tree to meet with God. Didn't matter to him what others thought. Didn't matter to him who was in the crowd that day. Didn't matter what ridicule may come. Didn't matter if they looked at him wrong. He needed to meet with God. And there were obstacles that were standing in his way. And to get above the obstacle, he got willing to climb a tree. I'm going to tell you something this morning. It's already been said in the Sunday school hour, and I'm not trying to discourage anybody, but if you purpose in your heart to go toward God and Him to come toward you, there will be obstacles in your way. It is the nature of the flesh. It is the nature of the devil. He is the prince and the power of the air. He does not desire for us to get close to God. For the Bible said if we resist Him, then He will flee from us. And I'm not trying to preach some charismatic way, but that's a promise in the Word of God that if we'd resist Him, He cannot fool with us, because greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. And I believe that verse has a twofold meaning. I believe there's application to the devil, who is the prince and the power of the air, but I also believe there's an application to our outward man that's greater than he that is on the inside, than he that's on the outside. And so we don't have to cave to fleshly pressures. We can rise above it if we're willing. Wonder this morning, I'm not trying to be funny or comical, but I wonder if it came down to us having to climb a tree, I wonder if we'd be willing to climb a tree to meet with God. Jesus passed by the highway side one day, making His way from one town to another, and sitting by the highway side was a man named Bartimaeus. And he wasn't just named Bartimaeus, but they called him Blind Bartimaeus. That had become his identifier. They all knew that he was blind, and he was willing to cry out to have a meeting with God. Even amidst the silencers, even amidst the pressure from the crowd, they said, "Be quiet. Don't bother the Master. He has no use for you. He has better things to do than to deal with a blind man." But the Bible said he cried the more, a great deal, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." We live in 2020. And the religious crowd says it's impossible to have revival in this day. And the religious crowd says we just have to adapt because of the power of God, it's gone. And the religious crowd says we need to find some other way. And the church too long has been silent and quiet. And it's time again for us to determine in us that if we have to cry louder, we'll cry, "God, we need you in this day." If Bartimaeus had held his peace, Jesus would have passed on by. I believe that's right. If Bartimaeus had succumbed out of the quieters, Jesus would have kept on going. But he was determined and desperate inside, and he was willing to do whatever it took to have a meeting. Oh, too quick. We're too quick to be quiet in this day. We're too quick to let our flesh, it may not be the brethren, it may not be some other individual as it was in Bartimaeus' day, but we're quick to let our flesh quieten our cries. And say, well, it's just never going to happen. Or God don't work like that anymore. He's never changed. He's the same God that He's always been. If He's done it in days gone by, He can do it again. But we become quiet. Those prayers that was mentioned in Sunday school this morning, that God can answer your prayer before He ever answers your prayer. And what I mean by that is that He can speak to you and let you know that it's going to be okay, that it's going to take place before you ever see His moving or His results. We think of that as a fairy tale. We hear stories about it from days gone by. But God's still the same God, and He can still do it again. There's four men bringing a man to the Lord one day. And not only did that man know he needed to meet the Lord, them four men that brought him knew he needed to meet the Lord. And I wonder what we're willing to do, not just for us to have a meeting with Him, but for those we love that we know that they need to meet with Him. And they got to the house that day. The Bible said that they received Him in the house, and all the people gathered together. There wasn't no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And the Bible said, there cometh one born of four. When they could not get in, they climbed up on the roof and they cut up the roof to let the man down to see the Lord. I wonder how willing we are. Are we willing to climb a tree? Are we willing to cry louder? Are we willing to cut up the roof? Are we willing to do whatever it takes? Or do we have that sense of willingness in us? Or do we have that sense of urgency in us? Or do we have that sense of desperation in us? Not only did that man realize his condition, but them four men knew that there was no hope for him if they did not get him to God. I'm telling you, we got lost loved ones and people that are in need of help and children that are wayward and grandchildren that are wayward and people that need the Lord, and there's no help anywhere in this world. There's nothing out there that can help them. They've got to get to God. And will we do what it takes to help them get where they need to go? Those men didn't make the Lord touch that man, but they did what it took to get the man where he could be touched. And I wonder in this day, if we're willing, if there's such an urgency, an hour of desperation in us to do what it takes to get those we love and to get ourselves in a position where God can help us. There was a Syrophoenician woman. I'm about done this morning. There was a Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile, who came to the Lord one day and said, my daughter is grievously vexed and she needs your help. And the Lord said, I'm not sent save to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She never missed a beat. She didn't get offended. She didn't run away. And I'm going to be honest. We might as well get down where we're living. If we went to God and He said, I'm sorry, I can't do that right now, most of us would get offended and never go back for that again. You say, what was the difference, preacher? She was desperate. I think we've lost our sense of desperation in the church today. We've tried to figure out everything else, and we've relied on man, and we've relied on ourselves, and we've relied on our programs and our plans and our games and our gimmicks and our frills and our thrills, and it's took away the desperation of the truth that God's the only one that can help us. He said, it's not meet for me to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she says, truth, Lord. She said, I am a dog. And she said, this is the way the Holy Ghost put it in my heart. She said, when I left home and come this way, I come for bread. I come for a loaf. I come for a slice. And I thought that was all that would fix it. But she said, if I can just get the crumbs, it'll be enough. She said the dogs even eat from the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table or from the children's table. And I'm here to tell you this morning, we may have all these plans and all these things in our mind, and we ought to go after the loaf and we ought to go after the slice. But if the Lord said take the crumbs, we ought to be willing to take the crumbs. One old preacher said there's as many ingredients in a crumb as there is in the whole cake. But are we willing to take the crumbs? And I'm going to tell you, a crumb from His table is more than the whole bread aisle at the grocery store or the world has to offer. And if we pull in, I don't know what the Lord's going to do. But in my heart, He's going to do something. And if we pull in tomorrow night and He just flicks a crumb off of heaven's table, I'll be satisfied with that. It'll do my heart and your heart more good than anything the world has to offer. But we better come willing and take the loaf, take the slice, take half a one or take the crumbs. Whatever it is, let's get it. And then I read about a woman one day. I'm done this morning. Who had an issue of blood. And she had seen she had done the religious thing of our day. She had seen all that man could offer. Spent all her money. And the Bible said she was none better, but rather grew worse. And that's exactly where the church is at today. But the Bible said she heard that Jesus was to pass that way. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. We may be willing to climb a tree. We may be willing to take the crumbs. We may be willing to cut up the roof. We may be willing to do all these things to cry out. But I got to thinking about this woman last night. And I got to reading all three Gospels where it was recorded, and the Holy Ghost got to speak into my heart. And the Bible said that when she touched Him, that He said, who touched me? And the disciples said, thou seest the multitude thronging thee. The word thronging means to cover tightly from all sides. And one of the Gospels said she came behind in the press. And she touched the hem. One of the Gospels calls it the border, which would be the lowest part of His garment. And so I'm inclined to believe that she crawled her way through the crowd that day. And she didn't care how many people stepped on her hands. And she didn't care how many kicked her in the head. She said, if I have to crawl, I'm going to touch His garment one way or the other. If I lose my hands, I've got to touch Him. Nothing else will do. And I wonder this morning if we're willing to crawl when it seems like the multitudes are thronging Him and everybody else is doing their thing. And we feel like just a scattered few gathered by the side of the road that nobody thinks much about. But I tell you this morning, He's passed by this way. He passed by where the woman with the issue was. You'll not convince me any different that when He went with Jairus, I think He took a back street and a detour to pass by where she was so that she could touch Him. But He could have passed by all He wanted if she hadn't been willing to crawl. She'd have never got what she needed that day. I thought last night, sitting there in the bedroom, There's a song some writer wrote, and I don't know how many of you know it and how many of you don't. Talked about that blind man that the Lord put that clay on his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool. And the writer said something like this, you know, he couldn't help but stumble along the way. How many times have we, trying to go after God, stumble and think this is it? This is over. There's no point. There's no use. There's no hope. But the writer went on to say that he said, I'll make it to the water even if I have to crawl. And I'm telling you this morning, there's a pool for us to get in and get help. And we may have to crawl to get there. But if we're willing to crawl, we can get what we need. In this old Redback book, I think it's in that book, there's a song that they used to sing in days gone by. And if you don't just really pay attention to the language, you'll miss the whole point. But the song says, I must tell Jesus. That writer knew something about desperation. It's not just I need to, not just I want to, not just I'd like to, but they said I've got to the place that I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. He is the only one who can help me. No one can help but say Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. How about you this morning? As we stand all over the house, must you tell Him? Must you talk to Him? Is there something in you you're wanting? Is there something in you you're longing for? Is there something in you you're hoping after? And it's not just a want this morning, but it's a willing. And you're willing to do what it takes. If it means climbing a tree, and I don't mean that literally, but you understand what I'm saying. If it means climbing, if it means crawling, if it means the crumbs, whatever it takes, you're willing to do it. You need to come and talk to Him this morning about what you want from Him. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. He's a kind, compassionate friend, that song says. Jesus will help you, Jesus alone. There's no one else can do for you what He can. No one else cares for you like He does. Nothing else will take the place. Nothing else can be substituted for His presence and His power. I want to tell you something this morning. God's a pulling at your heart to come. There's no need to fear what He may require of you. There's no need to fear what it may take. The Lord, He knows, and He'll not do anything that will harm you. Oh, it may seem like a hard thing, but just come, put Him to the test, and get what you need this morning. Don't leave like you came. Be willing. Who then, David said, who then is willing? He said, I'm willing. Who else is willing? And the Lord has passed by this morning, and this is what He said. I'm willing. Who else is willing? He's willing this morning. The Lord is willing to give you what you need. But you need to be willing to do what it takes to get it. Would you come this morning right quickly before we pray? Would you come talk to the Lord?